how do you define cloud? I mean, cloud is a very ambiguous sort of marketing term in some ways, and it means something to the people that use it, but it means a lot of different things. As you said, it's sort of like a lot of different components have been in existence for a long time. But in your cloud, in your lightning talk, I thought you had a really good concise definition of cloud. And what was that again?
We believe cloud is self-service IT delivered through automation.
Right.
And I can explain that a bit if you like.
Yeah, okay, that'd be great. Yeah, if you explain that a little bit.
Well, so I guess the big thing for us is that there's really two sides of the coin, right? You know, one side is how the consumer of an IT service sees it, and the other side is how the operator or owner of the IT service sees it. And you know, we just tried to boil it all down. I took a look at, you know, okay, some people call software as a service cloud, and some people call, these new platforms like Engineer in a Cloud. Some people call it infrastructure like Amazon's EC2 Cloud. And yet those are very different solutions, and they really target very different kinds of people. So what's common across them all, and the thing that leapt out to me, was the notion of self-service, which is kind of on-demand taken, you know, a little bit further, which is not only just being able to get it when you want it, but how you want it and on the terms you want it and pay for it how you want it without being locked into any kinds of contracts. It's really sort of the notions of the hyper-connected, the hyper-connectedness of the internet taken to the extreme. It's instant gratification combined with the ability to get any IT service you want when you want it with very low friction. Nothing is in your way. And then on the flip side, for the operator of the cloud, it's really about how do you actually deliver that kind of experience? Well, the only way is through automation. If you have somebody who's going to go and physically configure a server, that's a friction point, right? Everything's got to be 100% automated. And when you look at the canonical clouds today, like an Amazon or a Google, that's what they do. They allow you to get any of the services they provide when you want it on your own terms, in any flavor you like, as much as they deliver that flavor, without, you know, ever talking to a person, and you can turn it off in the same way.
Yeah, that's interesting to make that distinction of on demand, because, you know, especially so the three different categories that you've mentioned and that we really thought explained it well was taking cloud and defining it in terms of software as a service, infrastructure as a service, and platform as a service. And when you think of software as a service, that's been around for a really long time. And I think that, you know, people have been talking about ASP and software as a service really a hosted application. But making that distinction of the fact that it's on demand, which, you know, isn't that new of an occurrence either, but it is a distinction. It's not just a hosted solution that you call somebody up and you say, I'm going to sign an annual contract and let's implement this thing over the course of a month. It's more of the 37 Signals Basecamp type of pay as you go. What we do now, which is you go and you can use a credit card and pay on a monthly basis. So, I mean, you make that distinction for software as a service.
Right. For all of cloud. I mean, really, if you think about it, I mean, there is so little to keep you from going to another provider. If you sign up to get, say, Oracle Financials on demand, and it requires that you sign a year commitment and that you go and you get a professional services team to spend months doing the implementation, you haven't really leveraged the capabilities of cloud or the internet or, you know, this sort of, you know, this always on hyper connected kind of world that we're moving into. It's just, there's no value there. I mean, there's somebody, you're going to go and say, okay, this isn't working out for me. Have one of the other guys explore, you know, some custom software as a service application that also does financials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so then there's infrastructure as a service. And the ones that I think of when I think of this are, you know, Amazon EC2 and, well, all of Amazon services like S3 and the balancing service and all of the things that they have that are on-demand services for infrastructure. The other one is Rackspace. They have their solution, I guess, which once used to be Slicehost. You know, those are all on-demand services too. And those are just... That's more like you have a server, like what we used to do. We now run on Amazon, And we also have our own servers at the colo facility. But, you know, we used to have to order our server from Dell. It would take a week to get here. We would take, you know, another week to set up all the software for it. And then you would actually physically take it down to the colo facility, you know, mount your racks, slide it in, plug it all in, have somebody access it from the outside, make sure it was all accessible, then go home and do some more tweaking and make sure everything, you know, it was a nightmare. And EC2 was an absolute godsend for us, you know, just where now you press a button and boom, you've got a new server. And so that's the infrastructure as a service, right? I mean, that's that term.
Right. And again, it's that instant gratification. I mean, as you identified, you suddenly recoup a whole bunch of opportunity costs that you as a business have been incurring for all these years because you've been doing all kinds of IT that isn't core to your business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at these different services from EC2, which has a very robust ecosystem all the way to, you know, some of the folks who follow EC2 like Rackspace and GoGrid who maybe don't have quite the full ecosystem. And you just see a tremendous amount of adoption right now. I mean, I've done a bunch of due diligence on all these different clouds. I really know what their growth rates are. They've all been fairly cagey. I do have some blog postings on size and growth, but you know, from what I know, it's just exploding. And the reason is that once people get a taste, once people figure out that they no longer have to wait a day, a week, a month to get a server up and running, and that once they have that server up and running, they can get into it, make changes, and then save that down and then replicate a copy of that in time so they can make one web server that's configured the way they want it, and then they can say, give me 10 of these and get them in 5 minutes, that the power of that is just – it is too compelling to ignore.
It's phenomenal. I mean, it's truly revolutionary, and you know, we're just scratching the surface of it. And then you look at platform as a service, and you look at Google has their APIs and very specific stuff that you program. So it's more for developers, and it gives you a set of tools that you develop within. So if you think of – or Windows Azure, right? You don't really – I haven't been hearing that much about that, really. I'm surprised. But that's sort of their whole .NET, you know, platform – that's out and virtualized out in the cloud, and you deploy it out to the cloud. So you know, you've got EngineYard with Rails, you've got Google with their, I guess, you know, you can write in Java and Python and use their APIs. And the platform as the service seems to be easier to automate within that. Those seem more geared towards being able to automate the deployment, automate the scaling. Take that business process, whereas, you know, for us, there's still all kinds of stuff we have to build to monitor, you know, whether or not our EC2 instances are being tapped out, if we should be adding another one and clustering across them. You know, that's sort of a manual process with EC2.
You know, it's really interesting. You have, you know, these different layers, infrastructure, platform, applications, which people call software as a service, and you sort of think about that notion of self-service, and you sort of think about the fact that each of these really target different people. Who wants to order servers and storage on demand? That's really the IT and operations person. What does a developer want to do? Most developers do not want to know about the servers. I mean, they want a framework that they can plug into that gives them a whole bunch of the capabilities that they want. And they don't necessarily want to know micromanage each of those servers. And that's the promise of platform as a service. It's what I call a load your code and go system. You know, mm-hmm. Google App Engine says, you know, upload your Python code here and we'll just run it. And EngineYard does the same with really their new AWS product. They say, you know, put your Ruby on Rails application in a Git repository, and we'll just, you know, pull it in to automatically deploy it for you. So, you know, platform does promise to kind of do that automated scaling. It does promise to focus on the developers. And then really, you know, if you take those three layers again, you go back, you know, infrastructure is targeted at IT and operations. Platform is targeted at developers. You know, applications or software as a service is targeted at end users. And then there's that fourth layer that, you know, I like to talk about, which is business process, which, you know, who's missing from the picture? Well, who's missing from the picture is the business owner. Somebody needs to know what all of his cloud or her cloud services are doing? I mean, as you move more and more of your IT services outside of the firewall, as you deploy some inside, as you need to get some visibility into what all these are providing you, you need some way to actually know what's happening with all these services. You need some way to verify, you know, how much they cost you, how secure they are, you know, how up to date they are with their processes and procedures, all the kinds of things that you would do today inside your IT data center, you now have less visibility into, and you have to start managing sort of an ecosystem of vendors. Mm-hmm. There's this area in business called enterprise performance management that I think is very directly related to that, which is, you know, there are a lot of folks trying to figure out how does an enterprise get all of the tools and dashboards and capabilities to actually measure, you know, the return on investment for each of the areas it's working on. And I believe that's an area of cloud computing that's pretty much, you know, has been completely ignored to date, but will become increasingly important as more and more of these services go outside and as there's greater adoption.
Is that more of what RightScale is kind of marketing? Aren't they kind of marketing that type of approach where you have sort of a dashboard, and even though you may have different products from different cloud vendors, you know, they'll be able to show you sort of a unified dashboard? Or is that falling short because it's only dealing with infrastructure as a service? Are you saying that this dashboard would also include insight into what you're spending on software as a service, and
exactly,
yeah, so everything combined,
right? That's why I talk about it being SOA enabled. You need a way to actually connect to a disparate number of services and pull back all that reporting information and normalize it and provide it in a way that the business owner can actually use it. Because the average CEO or C-level executive is not going to be able to dig into a RightScale dashboard. They need a synthesized version of, you know, the metrics and information that a RightScale gives you, not the down-in-the-weeds operator console.
That's a really good point. So there's nothing out there today that does that?
No, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. So and that would be great. So it'd be almost like business intelligence for your infrastructure cost in the cloud. Yeah,
that's right. And it needs to span both the external services and the internal services. And it needs to be flexible enough that you can continue to just plug additional pieces into it. Because you're just, you know, if you're a very large enterprise, you're going to have a lot of people doing a lot of things. I mean, we're talking about moving from managing tens of hundreds to applications to thousands, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in large organizations, I mean, it gets so – for us, it wouldn't be that bad, you know. But if you're talking about a huge, you know, multinational company, I can't even imagine the complexity of it and trying to take all of that information and make intelligent decisions. You're right. That's a huge hole in the market. What an opportunity for somebody.
Absolutely.
Well, that's very interesting. So –